One thing I believe that the Lord allowed us to be infected by the virus is that we have something to tell others about how the Lord had sustained us in times of this pandemic, very personally and practically. While some individuals are very interested, they may have been interested why believers continue to trust in the Lord even in the midst of uncertainties. In this time of pandemic, everyone can experience some kind of uncertainty. Some people may have been afraid of being infected of the virus, and they cannot move around because of the fear that the virus would catch them. Of course, by God's grace, we believers, we believe that through the gift of faith for us that He gave us, we believe that He would sustain us. Now, if your faith comes from the Lord, listen, if your faith comes from the Lord, you will be faithful to Him even in this time of scary time of pandemic. He gave us situations, opportunities, circumstances, opportunities to witness and tell others about what He has done in our life. Those situations that we may struggle from could be practical exhibits of His grace that we can tell other people. Sincerely, we pastors are blessed when church members would pray for opportunities to witness. Now, if you are intentionally praying for opportunity to witness, that there's rejoicing in our hearts. Church leaders would rejoice with that, and the Lord would rejoice that you desire to testify about His grace. Think about this. Who are the people we wish to hear our testimony? If you were to tell about what happened in your life, how the Lord had sustained you in this time of pandemic, who would be the people you want to listen to you for what you tell about your personal testimony? Are we testifying to fellow Christians or non-believers? Witnessing to fellow Christians, this could encourage other Christians who would listen to grow deeper in their trust in the Lord and to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Whereas to witness, in comparison to witness to non-believers, this it's opportunity to lead them, giving them opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So what is the difference between witnessing and evangelism? To witness is to tell what we have experienced, personal testimony, personal experience, the things we saw, the things we heard, the things we touched, the things we smell, the things we tasted. You tell how you have experienced in your physical senses of what has been personally encountered after you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is how you would witness. When you go to the court of law, if you are a witness in the court of law, they would ask you, what did you see? They would not ask you, what do you think? They would ask you, what did you see? What did you hear? Because what do you think is your own opinion. It's not very credible testimony or exhibit to prove that you are a genuine witness. Whereas to evangelize is to tell, to expound, to explain the good news, the gospel of Christ, when we explain why the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and the process of the need to be done for anyone to be saved, that is called evangelism. So sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, that is evangelism. But telling about your personal testimony, that is witnessing. We may or we may not share our personal testimony, our personal experience when we share the gospel. But when we share the gospel and we tell about our personal experience, our witnessing, our testimony could enhance evangelism when we share the gospel, because you yourself know what you are talking about. Now, can you accept that God has already arranged opportunities for you to witness, to tell others about your experience with Him? Can you accept that? Do you believe that? Then if you believe it sincerely, people around us, believers or not believers, they are opportunities to witness by our words or by our action. The way we talk, the way we move around, the way we act before them. For employees, the way you do your work diligently testify how you believe in the Lord. It's not because you want to earn increase in your salary. It's not because you want to be promoted, but because the Lord bless you with that job and you become diligent because of your faith in the Lord. Not trying to impress other people, but you do it because it's by faith you believe that the Lord is enables you to do what you are doing. That is how we act. For students, the way you diligently study, do whatever you can, do your assignment, testifies that you also believe in the Lord. The way we talk, well, there are cultures that they talk roughly, and others would talk modestly and polite, but there are acceptable way of communicating that may testify how you believe in the Lord. The way you recognize the Lord in the presence of others. Well, some people would exaggerate. I heard people that every time they speak with praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Every time they speak, there's praise the Lord, which other believers or non-believers would find it not very amusing, because many times non-believers, if you try to impress them with your faith, they don't understand. They are just thinking that you are just dogmatic kind of person. Anyway, we are to pray. Continue to pray for the prompting of the Holy Spirit when it's time to initiate in sharing the gospel. Pray that the Lord would give you that attitude to intentionally initiate sharing the gospel, or living a lifestyle that testifies that you believe in the Lord. And we can learn from Apostle Paul. Let's read again verse 17 to 28. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the custom of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talked with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. It was by God's grace that Apostle Paul initiated a possible opportunity through witness. He told the people, told the leaders of the Jewish people in Rome that about his experiences. Now, he testified on why he arrived in Rome, why he was there. He narrated his arrest, legal proceedings that they went through, that he went through. He did not forget, but focused on his mission, the mission that God had given him to tell his purpose about the hope of Israel. What is this hope of Israel? The hope of Israel that he was talking about is the coming of the Messiah. Apostle Paul did not talk about his faith right away. He did not talk about the Lord Jesus Christ right away. He transitioned. He started where he deemed his listeners were in their spiritual condition. So he tried to evaluate the spiritual condition of his listeners. So to know the spiritual temperament of our listeners is very significant in sharing the gospel. We just cannot say, oh, this person should need to listen to the gospel. I need to witness to him. No, we cannot just do that immediately. You might be talking to a pastor. You might be talking to a professor in the seminary. And you don't know that that person knows more the gospel than you. So we need to know where they are in their spiritual life. Or that person could be a hardcore atheist that anything about God he would not listen to. So that's also a possibility. This is why we need to be attentive or in the spiritual curiosity of our listeners, be prayerful that Christ would give you wisdom of what to say. So when there's this desire to tell others about the gospel of Christ, Lord, I sense this desire, this intention to share the gospel, but Lord, help me be attentive. Help me when to start. Give me the right word. That is our prayer. So that you would not put yourself in difficult situation. This is why in evangelism explosion training, we have this asking the two diagnostic questions. It is very essential. Diagnosing the spiritual condition of a person is very essential when we are to share the gospel of Christ. And like, if you feel like you are sick and you go to the hospital, and when you go to the hospital, the doctor will immediately say, let's have an operation. What is the operation? We need to cut this foot of this person. I think he is sick in his foot. Something like that. Without diagnosing the health condition of the patient, well, how could that be? There are many mistakes that happen in the hospital, actually, accordingly, because of the overconfidence in the doctors, thinking that they are doing what is right. Have you heard of people amputated of the right foot instead of the left foot? And they amputated both because they have amputated the wrong foot, something like that. You've heard of those stories? It's real. How about auto mechanics? When you bring your car into the shop and my car has problem. Oh, okay, let's change the tire, or let's change the engine, let's change everything, and you need to pay this and that. Without any diagnosis, what happened to the car? The problem of the car is only the light, for example. Carpenter, for example, you call the carpenter,
hey, carpenter, you need to come and repair my house. And he made a lot of repairs in your house. And the repair that you wanted to be done is just the door, for example. And you paid me anything. Yeah, that is worse scenario, right? Professional services should know the problem before making adjustment, repairs, or treatment. For example, to be efficient in building maintenance, for example, if you clean, if you go come in this sanctuary and help in the cleaning of this sanctuary, you need to know where the dirts are, where the places where everyone would be there, and that is the place where it needed to be cleaned. And something like removing grease has different approach from removing spaghetti sauce stain. You cannot use what you use in removing spaghetti sauce stain, removing grease. Like disinfectant, when you buy your shoes, like for example, you buy secondhand shoes, you like to go to Value Village and buy a beautiful shoes there. There are a lot of beautiful shoes there. I buy my shoes there sometimes. And you put disinfectant. And disinfectant for shoes is different from disinfectant of toilet bowls, right? Yet both are termed disinfectant. So if you wish to be at par or not left behind, you need to upgrade and have advanced training, education in your chosen career. So if you're an engineer, you don't participate in seminars, advanced seminars, you will be left behind. Same with other career. Athletes, for example, how can you excel as an athlete if you don't regularly train? That is kind of practical illustrations that even in our spiritual life, we need to have regular training. We just cannot say, oh, I believe in the Lord in here, like this and like that, and I believe that I will be in heaven one day, and do nothing anymore with your faith. That is maybe deception to yourself. Similar to other professions, continuous training and practice is essential in sharing the gospel. If you are not sharing the gospel, you just go and read, memorize how you would present the gospel, so that when at times you don't have that track or list or how you may share the gospel, it's in your mind. You can easily remember. God knows best how to deal with us. We need regular training in evangelism and in witnessing. If you are scared of other people, try witnessing to younger people. Call your neighbor's child. Let me tell you about the story of the Lord Jesus and tell. Or if you have children in your home, just tell them. Tell them how you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not expecting them to believe, but pray that they may believe in what you say. Not pressuring them to trust what you trust, but pray that God would speak even through your limited understanding of the gospel. It's not kind of not know-it-all kind of training. You do not like that. Do you want God to show His love and care for us every now and then? Do you like it? Do you want the Lord to show you every day how He cares and loves you? Do you like it? Witnessing is actually the most practical manifestation that we recently experienced God's love and care. Do you really acknowledge that the love and care of the Lord? If you do, try telling others, and you would feel more blessed. When Christ Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, does something in our life, and He enables us to recognize that. The Lord expects us to tell others about it, witness, testify of what He has done in our life, may it be practical or spiritual. We just cannot keep what the Lord has done in our lives to ourselves. We just cannot keep it secret. The good things that the Lord has done in our life, they overflow in our life. So if you have not had experienced that overflowing rejoicing and praise in your life, then ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith for me to recognize that You truly love me. Don't just say, oh, I'm okay. You can do that, pastor. You can do that, leader. I'm okay with my faith. Don't deceive yourself. Make sure that you have faith in the Lord. This is why we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit of Christ all the time. It's not easy, readily, even for everyone, even for older Christians, mature Christians, to say every now and then, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, fill me with the Holy Spirit. It's not, because it is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command to be empowered. Therefore, if it is godly command, most of the time, it's not our instinctive to think about it. The reason God gave the command is He knows that it's the opposite way that we are doing. Every command that the Lord gives, our inclination is to do the opposite. This is why we need the feeling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us. He reminds us of the commands of the Lord. What are the benefits of being filled of the Holy Spirit? First, you would experience joy and peace. Now, this joy and peace is something that we may not understand very well. Listen carefully. When we were the first few weeks that my family had been infected, everyone was just so lazy. The body is very lazy. The body, the mind, it's not very actively functioning of what to do. We just do what we do regularly, but not proactively. That is the experience that we had. I don't know, but I tried myself to have some physical exercise, light exercises for my body to keep on going, but the mind, the brain, is just very lazy, not functioning very actively. And I remember, wow, this really is this really happening to me? But there's peace that the Lord will see us through. As long as the Lord is not accomplished yet in His purposes in your lives, whatever situation that you may experience, difficult situation, He will sustain you. He will sustain us. Amen. It's not only about the feeling of joy, it's not only the feeling of peace that are practical things that we are joyful about. God shows good things, great things, and the result would be to be joyful. To have that peace. Even things that others cannot appreciate, we appreciate. God's blessing is experienced and assured. The result to peace. There is peace even during evangelism training, even during witnessing. Anytime, anywhere, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God blesses us And God blesses us. Those serves as practical exhibits when we testify of His grace. We need the Holy Spirit to initiate godly divine projects, godly works, divine works, and we get involved and testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. What was the latest experience that you have that you know that it was the Lord who was working in your life? Think about that. Is there any thankfulness in your heart? Do you sense that peace? Do you sense that rejoicing in your heart? If you sense like, not so much, Pastor, continue to ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand, but the pastor said, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything. Of course, you don't understand everything. But as long as the Holy Spirit fills you, empowers you, He would only allow you things that you would understand, that you would testify. You cannot understand everything. We cannot understand everything that the Lord does, but only the things that He wants us to tell other people. He wants us to get involved. In verse 21 and to 24, let's read this together. They replied, "You have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But you want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. We arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. People were not very enthusiastic about what happened to Paul. Did you observe that? They did not ask questions about, oh, what happened to you when you were in the storm? What did you eat when you were sailing? What did you see when you were sailing? They were not excited about those things. What did you see in Fair Haven? What did you see in Malta? Can I go to Malta and visit that island too? Is it possible for us to go there every time? What time is the best time to visit Malta? Fair Haven and those things, I don't know if they asked, but it was not listed, it was not recorded in the Bible. Those were trivial things that not worthy to be part of the Bible. They were more interested about the growing numbers of believers. They have that desire to know about his views of the sect that they were talking about, Christianity. And that implies that the Holy Spirit has initiated in the heart of the people. He enables the people to get involved in the discussion about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where Apostle Paul explained. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. So they arranged another time, brought others to hear and ask about the views of Apostle Paul about Christianity, about Christ. That kind of listeners' involvement, that involvement of the listeners wanting to ask about spirituality, about God, is also a godly signal to evangelize, to tell, to witness. So if people would ask you, what church do you go to? What is your belief? What do you think about Christianity? Or any hint of asking about the spiritual matters guarding your faith, that could be a hint, a signal that you are about to share the gospel, to testify. Tell them about your faith if you cannot share the gospel yet. So witnessing or testifying about what God did in our life is a great starting point. Why do you believe in God? Why do you go attend in-person service when others are scared and others are not very cautious of being infected? Why do you have that courage? Apostle Paul testified about what happened to him. Why he came to Rome before he explained the gospel. The Lord commanded in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We know this very well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, don't try to force yourself witnessing. Don't try, or else you will be caught in argument. Instead, wait. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit empowered you, it would be spontaneous. Words would come out in your mouth, and wait for that. Always keep in mind that we need the empowerment to be effective witnesses of Christ. Keep in mind. Don't be pressured to witness just because every Sunday your pastor would say, go and testify, go and witness. And you are tired listening to that. Now, if you are tired listening to it, it means the Lord may have been prompting you. First, ask the Lord, Lord, empower me. I want to obey you, but first empower me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Keep praying. The Lord would put you in a situation where you would be witnessing to the person he had already prepared for you to witness to and to testify. When the Lord said, and you will be my witnesses, it means he already prepared somebody to witness to. It is much more effective to experience personally the Holy Spirit's power in our life. We need to have that. We need to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because witnessing is a manifestation that Christ is performing his lordship in our life, that we are submitting to the lordship of Christ. We just don't say, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Lord. Well, anybody can claim that, but to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ is another situation that we would like to experience. The command to preach the gospel has been given to the disciples. The command to share the gospel has been given to the disciples. Disciples, not just ordinary believer. Why disciples? Why is it? A Christian can be spiritually infant, while a disciple is considered spiritually mature. And Christians who are still scared to evangelize could be possibly still spiritually infant. Have you grown spiritually as disciple of Christ? Are you still in the infancy level of in your faith in Christ? By the way, the Lord has commanded not just to witness, but also to go and evangelize. He said to them in Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. What was that pronoun, them? It pertains to the disciples. It did not pertain to a new believer. It pertains to the disciples who were listening to him before the Lord returned to heaven. To keep praying for increase of faith in Christ. God has perfect time. When God's perfect time comes, you won't be scared to witness. If you still sense that nervousness. That's okay. That's normal. But pray, Lord, empower me. Empower me. I would like to sense your empowerment. And until that feeling of the Holy Spirit, you would still continue to sense that nervousness or hesitancy. But when you are filled with power by the Holy Spirit, there will be spontaneous words that will be coming out of your mouth. But of course, you need to know, you need to try to be trained, you need to know what you believe. Obedience to the mandate of evangelism or sharing gospel is another sign of spiritual growth as disciple of Christ. Again, have you grown as disciple of Christ? Although not everyone can be full-time evangelist, every disciple has to learn how to explain about their salvation, about their faith, about their hope of eternal life. Do you know? Do you know how you may explain to a child why you believe that you will enter heaven one day? To a little child who can speak, can respond, do you know how to explain to them? You can explain in a very simple word, in a simple word, to a child about your faith going to heaven. That would be very great. Spiritual growth is very interesting to genuine believers, to those people whom the Lord had already prepared to know Him. Moreover, it is also very interesting that discussion about spiritual growth between believers and non-believers has become more intense. This time you could easily go and search the internet and look about people telling about their faith, and you can go and read comments out there, and you know the comments that are not very worthy to read or very disgusting sometimes. But are we supposed to defend our faith? How do we defend our faith? It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, "But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keep clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than doing evil." Now, if you go back to verse 15, because that's where it starts, it says, "In your heart, revere Christ as Lord." What does that mean? If Christ is revered, if Christ is respected, if Christ is treasured as Lord, if we value Christ as Lord, He enables us, He empowers us for spiritual challenges. Meaning, how do we revere the Lord? We ask Him for empowerment. We ask Him for His help, enabling. We just cannot go and testify and tell others on our own. Revere Christ as Lord. He did not say revere Christ as Savior. The Lord knows when we are saved, if we truly believe, we are saved and we are saved forever. But to have Him as Lord most of the time, we cannot do that. This is why it's a command to revere Christ as Lord. Just look at us. When we were children, we will also be disobedient to our parents. When we were disobedient to our parents, we disrespect our parents. We did not revere our parents. And now we become parents, we see the children not obeying us. And we saw ourselves when we were younger. We did the same. They are doing what we were doing when we were younger. Why was that? Because in every child's heart, the tendency is just to disobey. That is the human nature. This is why the Bible commands us to revere, respect Christ, value Christ as Lord. But still, how do we prepare? How do we know that our answers are appropriate when others would ask us questions about our faith? What should the right attitude, what should be our attitude so that we can say we have gentleness and respect? What is the right approach to argument? Here comes the need. Our need again to check our life, our lifestyle, the way we speak, the way we act, before answering, getting into argumentation about our faith. So when we suspect ourselves that we are not truly living in a Christian way, then better not go and argue. But pray that God would increase your faith and help you revere Him as Lord. When we revere Christ as Lord, He enables us to live a lifestyle according to His will. And that also would prepare us to defend our faith. Many things we ask, those are valid concerns, like how do we prepare, how do we answer, what's the right attitude, right approach. Those are valid concerns, but here are essential that matter most in every situation or circumstance as believers. Ask yourself, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I sense the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life? Do I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit, especially during argument? It pertains then to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Lord commanded us to receive power of the Holy Spirit first and foremost before we witness. So we can be effective witness when we sense the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So to argue, to defend our faith, this is an opportunity also to witness. Witnessing by the power of the Holy Spirit is very effective. And another way of earning eternal treasure. You have heard before, we need to earn our eternal treasure. Eternal treasure is not given to everyone. We need to earn. The Lord Jesus commanded, earn your eternal treasure. And obedience to Him, like witnessing, is another way of earning eternal treasure. During argument, some individuals want to win, especially non-believers. They want to prove that you are wrong, that believers are wrong. Anyway, in the eyes of the non-believers, we may lose the argument. They may think we failed to defend our faith. But if you sense that joy and peace, even if they think that you are short of explaining your faith, then that is the best. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that joy, you have that peace. That's okay. If we think that we won the argument, but we don't sense that joy, we don't sense that peace, we lost, actually. The purpose should be to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that is all that matters. It's not about winning, it's not about losing. Personally, have you ever had an argument about your faith, about your belief, and you felt so bad? Have you had an argument with others, not just about faith, but just kind of argument about one thing that you believe in, but one thing that you think you know, and then you think you have been winning, and yet you feel so bad, you don't have that peace. You cannot say, I won. No. You're not alone. Try it next time. Fervently ask the Lord, Lord, here again, this person wants to argue. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
client.
The sense like, this person is always arguing with me.
Yes.
Look at the person and you know the person would just argue. Have you seen those person before? Those people before? But pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just pray like that.
After the argument, and you sense joy and peace, you had a great opportunity of witnessing.
You have all actually witnessed to that person.
Not intentionally, but indirectly.
Even when we initiate, when we get involved in evangelism, when we share the gospel,
we always need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Anytime, anywhere, no matter what the occasion is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what we are doing, no matter what we are dealing with, when people are around us, when there are individuals around us listening to us, God has designed that those situations as opportunities to witness, to testify of your faith in the Lord. So be prayerful, be intentional to witness. Pray that the Holy Spirit would prompt you to initiate witnessing. Get involved in evangelism when it is God's perfect timing to tell them about your testimony or the gospel. Be prayerful.
Most often we forget that we are believers of Christ, right?
When you go to the grocery and the cashier would be very unpleasant, you feel like you want to testify about your faith. Sometimes we are affected with unpleasantness of others. But joy in witnessing is practical proof that Christ is actively at work in our life. And we have that peace. But if we don't sense that peace, we don't sense that joy, meaning we are not revering Christ as Lord. Sharing the gospel is also another practical proof that we understand what we believe in Christ and that we believe in Him intellectually and not just blindly.
Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray for increase of faith.